This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0-RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning. Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Taylor from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo on a sunny day. Ty Taylor is alongside on this 23rd day of March, and I know it's all things NCAA tournament. That's basically what everyone is worried about. We have Illini basketball tonight. What time is the broadcast time?
6:30 around with a 7:40 scheduled tip-off in Omaha. I wish I was going to Omaha tonight. You
now,
know that.
Now, does Iowa State, do they play the game before or after?
So that's they play before.
So, and they're playing who, do you remember?
Washington State.
So the winner of that game meets the winner of Illinois Duquesne. All right, so that's coming up tonight again. 6:30 broadcast with the Illini Radio Network and a 7:40 broadcast. They always have the directions where you can, they say, here's how you can listen to the simulcast of like the Illini Radio Network with, you know, the sound turned down, but I can never figure that out with my phone. So it's always like 10 seconds ahead or 10 seconds behind. All right. So nice on the program today. We caught up with Nick Bozzala, right? You had a chance to talk with him. And it's a record. How many games have they played
already? They played six already.
Six games, yeah. And they're five and one on the year. So you
Their
saw
lone them. Loss was a one-run extra inning loss to Sterling, 3-2.
And you saw them play earlier this week. Our first spring sports broadcast was delayed by a day. We were scheduled to carry the Mercer County Rockridge game that got, I guess, colded out is what you would say. So what did you think of the first baseball observation of the spring of 2024?
Well, it's early in the season, obviously, but I really like Sherrard, their pitching. I mean, I think they pitched to Sam Crownover, who's probably their number three, and he looked really good against Rock Island, and it was kind of a weird game where early the wind was really blowing hard, so there was some trouble with some fly balls. But so he pitched really well, and everybody knows about, I think, Aiden Toranas. I think through his first two starts, he had 14 strikeouts this year. And then the Harkson kid is a really nice piece for them on the mound as well. It's too bad, though, Brock Dammer for them, who was, you know, one of their best bats last year and probably going to be hitting three or four for them this year, broke his wrist and is out for the season. So that's unfortunate. But I think Sherrard definitely is the team to beat in baseball. They returned, you know, I think eight starters from a team that was a couple of bounces away from winning a sectional last year. So, yeah, they look pretty impressive, I thought, on Tuesday this week.
Yeah, I watched a couple of those bounces last year in the sectional title game. That was a wild one over in Knoxville. So people that are listening say, well, that's too bad Brock DeHamer got hit in the wrist by a pitch and is gone for the year, but that's not how he got injured, right?
No, he got hurt in a basketball game in the regional, from my understanding. So it's too bad, like we said. You know, he's such a dynamic hitter for them. And Coach Bissell, he talks a little bit about DeHamer in the interview. I mean, he had the big hit in the regional championship game last year when they were down 2-1 in the sixth inning. He got a two-out, two RBI hit that gave them the lead and proved to be the game-winning hit. And that was a great regional championship they played with Princeton last year in baseball. So yeah, it is too bad. He's a really good baseball player, and it's just, you know, a shame when a kid has to miss his senior year like that.
Yeah, and the one thing that I think that Sherrard has figured out with the baseball program, with the imprint they have now, with, is it the Tiger
Baseball Club?
Yeah, Tiger Baseball Club. You did the fundraiser, was it, or maybe this past fall. And, I mean, it's truly their program they're running. Yeah. And I think it's the, to me, that's the boilerplate that all schools should kind of follow.
Yeah, and we get into that a little bit when in my conversation with Coach Basala coming up. You know, the thing that I like about it is, like, they're not burning the kids out, and it's more about, like, getting them to play locally with each other and, like, having fun with the game, where I think when you see some of these kids who go all over the place every weekend when they're, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, you can really get burnt out by the sport. And I think that what Sherrard is doing with Coach Basala, and I know Rusty Plunkett has a big role with the Tiger Baseball Club too, I really like what they're doing. And I think, you know, that baseball program the past 2 years has won regionals, and you just kind of look at the numbers they have. I mean, Sherrard, I feel like, is really a baseball school on the boys' side of things, and that program, I think, is really rolling right now. And like we said, I think pretty high expectations for a season, for a nice run this year, I would think.
Yeah, and then Tom Sharp, he needs to start a youth baseball academy back up in Aledo, right? Do you think so or not?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was great to play for.
He was a great. There's like unsung heroes like in youth sports, and he would be top of list number one. And then 1A or maybe type would be the legendary Heath Smith.
Yeah, Heath Smith. Right? Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you mentioned like Sherrard baseball having played six games. It's crazy. Rockridge softball has only played once this year. And did you see what happened in that game? They beat Rock Island 4-0, and Kendra Lewis threw a no-hitter and struck out 14 batters. So yeah, she's still doing all right, I think.
And she's a commit to Wisconsin, so it will be interesting to kind of follow the trajectory with her this year. As, I mean, that what a story. I mean, we were talking about it here earlier in the week at the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, that you think about winning, trying to win four state titles in a row, let alone just one. I mean, it's not
winning, you know, a regional, you know, is difficult. Well, you know,
and that's what I'm saying. When you look back at even they've had these elite teams, there's no question about it. But still, you know, you're taken to the brink of elimination during those seasons. Yeah. You know, even they won the last three, and if you win four in a row. I mean, you talk about Peoria Emanuel in basketball and what type of talent level you were talking about in that era. And then, like, Simeon basketball with, you know, they have NBA stars, you know, that went through there. And with what softball has become in this state, for them to win four in a row.
It would be crazy.
It would be bananas.
You know, the thing about them, when you look at the run that they're in right now, no one has ever won four softball state titles in a row. Two other schools have won three in a row. And I think it was Cobden, like, in the late 2000s, and then Alleman in the mid-90s. And then you look at, like, all the other records they've, you know, just destroyed. You know, the winning streak with 74, they lost last year, and now I looked and it's back up to 31 already, so I think they're back into the top 20 again. And then, like, obviously, you know, Peyton Brown broke the single season home run record last year with 27. Kendra Lewis is the only player in IHSA history to be the winning pitcher in three state title games. They've won 22 postseason games in a row. I mean, it just is really remarkable when you look at it. I mean, and when you watch them play and when you watch them prepare, it's not really that shocking, you know, the talent level they have and the work they put in. And like we always said, you know, with Coach Nelson, and I'm sure it's the same, you know, with Coach Durbin now, like when you show up to the diamond, they win the game during warmups. You know, I mean, it just, that's just everybody they play, even at the state tournament, you know, they just, you can just tell they're outclassing them in warmups, and, you know, they're always prepared, and they're just the best there is, you know. I mean, what, they've won five overall state titles, I think, and then they're going for their sixth this year, a preseason number one ranking. I mean, it's a long way down the line, obviously, but, you know, what they've done has been nothing short of remarkable, and it, I mean, it'll never be matched. I mean, the run they've been on, nobody's ever going to do what they've done over the past 3 years. I mean, well, it's the best run in the state's history.
And what's so great about it is their legacy – to me, with local radio, so impressive because we've been at every one of those state title experiences, at every state tournament game. I mean, it started, I remember Darren Bizzare and I, in the mid-90s, we did the first state tournament appearance. They were playing at Mineral Springs Park in Pekin, Illinois. That's where the state tournament was at, and then it went to Eastside Center. We were there, and then, of course, the beautiful Louisville Slugger Complex. I didn't realize you said Cobden won three in a row.
Yeah, from 2008 to 2010. I remember that from last year. And then, so Illini Bluffs had won two in a row and then lost in the state title game in 1A this past season by one run to St. Bede. So they almost won three in a row last year.
In the midst of Cobden's then three in a row, they won. One of their games was broadcast on WRMJ because they lost to, or they beat United, and that was the game where Katie Bertelsen had 33 strikeouts and lost the game. And it was 18 innings, I think. My scorebook was three pages
That's
game.
That's
33 strikeouts and United lost that game. Now, that was when the pitching distance was 40-foot. And then I think the very next year they moved it back to 43 feet. I know, you know, other spring sports we're talking about. We had the indoor, well, they call it the indoor
the
state.
Illinois, no, it's the, it's not called indoor state.
I know, but I mean,
it's
that,
the it's, Illinois Indoor Top Times Championship is what it's called.
Yeah. So everybody, I'll always call it indoor state.
I've been told that's not accurate, so I will not call it that because that's not what it is.
So what is it called again?
The Illinois Top Times Indoor Championship.
Okay. Well, whatever. Right. So there were some local kids there last night.
Off the top of my head, Rock Ridge's Vaughn Freer medaled in the shot put. He finished third. Mercer County's Molly Hoffman medaled in the high jump. She finished fifth. And then Mercer County's Daylen Blazer, I believe, got a medal for finishing eighth in the 200. And then that's 1A. Sherrard's 2A in track and field, so they're competing today. They've got a bunch of, if you can believe it, a bunch of girls track and field athletes down there competing today.
Well, and that's an interesting story. I didn't realize that because I've always kind of hovered between 1A and 2A because track is a three-class system.
And I believe they are the smallest 2A track and field school.
Yeah.
They're the smallest.
That's too bad with the three-class system. Now, I saw there was a little bit of a controversy I saw on social media this week involving one of the kids from Illini West that had the second top time in one of the sprints. And there was some kind of computer malfunction on the entry, and they didn't let him participate.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Yeah, so I saw a little that one. The kid posted a long, mea culpa post. So, yeah, so Sherrard, that'll be too bad, I really think, in the three-class track system. And it'll be interesting to see where they get shifted in a two-way sectional. Did you say Rock Island? Are they two-way?
I have no idea. I haven't looked that far into it. I just saw that Sherrard was 2A this year, which I was kind of surprised by.
All right. Now, I know we're going to hear from the athletic director at Mercer County High School, Dustin Murray. Most of the headlines that occurred at the Mercer County School Board meeting this week kind of involved high school athletics there. One of them, we're talking about a new gym floor. We're getting that because of an insurance-related issue. With an ice, I think they called it an ice dam that caused floor damage here in January, and it bubbled up here, I think, in the spring. So a new floor will be installed here during the off season. Hopefully it'll be done in time for the spring sports or for the fall sports season, or maybe there'll be some games. Enjoy Illinois next fall. You never know how long that'll take. But I'm interested to see what the decoration of the floor will look like. I think that's important moving forward. I want to see some really impressive design for a new gym floor.
Yeah, that'd be great. They've needed a new gym floor for like 20 years. I mean, I wasn't in school 20 years ago, but it was like when I was in school, it was the worst gym floor we played on. And they've needed a new one for quite a while. So that's good for the kids that they'll be getting that for sure.
All right. So, and then he talked about another thing. There was an update on the new baseball field that's being constructed at Northside Park that will be up next year. They'll be using that. That'll be the main varsity field in the spring of 25 for the Mercer County Golden Eagles, which will include a new scoreboard. They announced that. So we'll get that next year. He gave an update on the timeline for the girls' basketball coach. Sounds like they'll hire the new girls' basketball coach next month. And then he also talked about with the move to the Three Rivers Athletic Conference next school year, looking at a trophy, a traveling trophy for the Rock Ridge Mercer County game, which is week 7 next year. So here is Dustin Murray. This was after Wednesday night's Mercer County School Board meeting.
All right. So speaking with Mercer County High School Athletic Director Dustin Murray, so tell us a little bit about what happened to the high school gym floor.
So back in January, in the freeze and thaw and that, we had some water come down through the roof and ultimately leak on the floor that, you know, we didn't think at the time was a big deal. And, you know, after drying and the humidity and that, it popped essentially and came out into the playing surface. So get a hold of the insurance company and find out our damage was pretty extensive.
And that resulted in the board having to consider replacing the damaged part of the floor or replacing it all. And they decided tonight to kind of replace it all. So do you want to speak to kind of what the process is now?
Yeah, so, you know, ultimately this week, Monday, Stalker Sports Floors came down and removed the damaged part. And then, you know, the board was able to recommend tonight and approve that we would replace the whole floor, you know, to do it right, to make it look right, make it look good, and make it a great playing surface. So now, you know, we work with them to come and remove the rest of the floor, and hopefully, I would say, in 2-3 months, have a brand-new, beautiful gym floor.
So it'll be ready for basically the new school year. So you gave an update too tonight on Three Rivers Conference, and they're kind of the wheels are in motion about, we know the schedule is going to be different with all of the sports we play, but looking at something unique with the football schedule and specifically kind of the Rock Ridge Mercer County relationship. What are kind of the wheels in motion in regards to that?
Yeah, so actually when we joined the Three Rivers last year, I reached out to Katie Hassan, Daphne Graves, and Marcus Bush about creating some type of rivalry, because I think it's really unique in sports on traveling trophies. And creating a traveling trophy, you know, I played when I was in school, Lyle versus Westmont, we played for the old Plank Road Trophy. So trying to create that because it's special for the community. I mean, everybody remembers 2013, the Rock Ridge Mercer County playoff game. You know, if we can get that atmosphere on a Friday night and play for something, play for a trophy. So I reached out to them, and obviously I'll work with Brock Boehner as he takes over as the athletic director up there. But look to create a possible traveling trophy. Maybe, you know, I've got some ideas, and I think we've decided on the county line clash between Mercer County and Rock Ridge. You know, some excitement for the kids to play for a trophy, and you know, now we'll look for maybe a sponsor for that traveling trophy and try to create something pretty cool.
And then as far as you kind of updated the board, the one thing we forget about with conference affiliation changes is the banners that basically are decorated in the you know, gymnasiums with the, you know, new conference schools. What's the process with that?
Yeah, so, you know, I really liked the banners that are in the junior high gym right now, and they were done by Kellogg Printing. So, you know, reaching out to the schools, getting their logos and getting those and showing that new affiliation in the gym and, you know, showing the strong tradition of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. And, you know, we're fortunate enough to join and become a member. So, you know, get those school banners posted. And actually, they just came in today. So here after the gym floor is completed and the dust is settled and cleaned up, we're going to put those up and look forward to that bright, exciting future.
And the other thing I was going to mention, so you have to be excited about, you know, a new facility that the Park District is moving forward with, but there's a relationship with the school district, you know, former assistant baseball coach. So what's your kind of reaction with, you know, another facility that the school district can utilize specifically with the baseball program?
Yeah, I think it'll be a beautiful facility, you know, to highlight our baseball program and the success they've had and the beautiful facility the Park District is putting together right now, you know, coming together. It'll also help some of those late nights for those JV parents, you know, where they have to stay till 6-7 o'clock at night, where now we can play a varsity and a JV game simultaneously at the same time, and have two high quality baseball diamonds in Aledo. I think it will be awesome to maybe where we can, you know, highlight some of our facilities in a regional or a sectional format, or even possibly host some type of, you know, baseball tournament or that going forward.
And the other thing I was going to ask you, is there a timeline on the new girls varsity basketball coach. I know that position's already been posted.
Mm-hmm. So right now we're taking applications and probably looking for another 2 weeks to keep that application open. But, you know, obviously my hope would be to have a name to the board in the April board meeting so we can get the process moving because, you know, we know basketball is almost an all-around year process like you guys talked with Coach Engwall. But there's a lot of planning to be done for the summer. So my hope would be that by the April board meeting I can bring a name to the board.
All right, that was Dustin Murray following Wednesday night's Mercer County School Board meeting. I don't want to bury the lead. Of course, the big story occurring after the school board meeting is the superintendent has announced his retirement, so Mercer County will be in the search for a new superintendent. I think they're meeting Thursday with the Illinois Association of School Boards to discuss that. So what about the trophy? You like that concept?
That is amazing, you know, and, like, that's something that I know we were talking about, like, in the office this week, too, when they announced that is, like, I think that, like, it's pretty rare that schools around here. I know that I think Kewaunee and Princeton play for a trophy, and then Fulton and Morrison are reviving theirs now that they're in the same league again starting next year in the NUIC. But I love that. I think it'll add something to the game, you know, and, like, that's the thing, too, when you look at them moving to the Three Rivers, you know, for Mercer County, in terms of like a rivalry where you could have a trophy, there wasn't a school that they played, you know, in the Lincoln Trail or the Lincoln Land that it would make sense to do something like that with. So, you know, that'll add something to it. It'll be fun for the kids. And I hope they come up with something like unique for the trophy, you know, and like I was, when Coach Murray said that, I was really excited. And the other thing I love too is the conference banners, you know. That's going to look great. Like, they'll have the new floor in that gym at Mercer County. They'll have all the banners of the teams in the Three Rivers. That'll look neat, I think. And I just think it's a really exciting time for Mercer County making the switch to the Three Rivers. I think, you know, there's added excitement, as you've seen, for the football schedule next year with, you know, all the local teams they'll be playing again. I saw their boys and girls basketball schedules. There's, I think, a lot of excitement for those games, too. With all the conference games being on Fridays, there's going to be great crowds for those. So I'm just, it's great. It's great. It was the right move, I think. And I'm excited for them that starting next year to be with all the local schools again.
And I think the other neat thing, and I'm not going to, indicate who the business is, but already, you know, a business reached out to John Hoshite and said, hey, we want to sponsor that trophy. Right. And I'm sure there's multiple other businesses that want to get on that. Again, the county line clash. So you see what already this move has resulted in.
Right. It will pay dividends in every way imaginable. No. It already is. Well, it hasn't even started.
Well, and I'm not going to mention the school, but Dustin Murray at a public meeting this week said, specifically mentioned one school's name in the public meeting that will not play Mercer County because non-conference, because they're moving to the track. In the, you know, the reason they gave,
probably like travel. Yeah, right.
So that exactly. Was our big debate about, you know, the conference move from the LTC to the track was travel, and now this school in the LTC that is mad apparently that Mercer County is leaving, they're going to take it out on the kids apparently and say, well, right. We don't want to play you non-conference. That's, so whatever,
right? Well,
that always makes me laugh, those type of things. So it's not about the kids apparently, but whatever, we move on I guess bigger and better things scheduling wise. And we saw the boys basketball schedule. I think he showed me like non-conference next year is pretty impressive. It's going to be a great, and I think all sports are going to be that way moving forward with baseball, softball, and whatever, more of the traditional rivalries, and then a non-conference schedule. That's going to be fun too. And by the way, just kind of looking at the football schedule as Coach Murray alluded to, the Mercer County Rock Ridge game next year in football will be week 7. So Mercer County's schedule in high school football next year, week 1 at Monmouth Roseville at Sunny Lane Field, week 2 at home against Girard, week 3 at Orion, week 4 home against Riverdale, week 5 at Erie Prophetstown, week 6 hosting Newman, week 7 at Rock Ridge, week 8 at Princeton. Well, that's going to be a tough 3-week stretch there. 6, 7, and 8, Newman, Rockridge, and Princeton. And then week 9, hosting Mendota. Thank goodness we don't have to travel to Mendota.
Next year they're going to have to, though.
And then just saw a round out. So the Rockridge schedule next year, wow, they open up at Sherrard. That's week 1. host Princeton. Man, that's going to be a marquee matchup in week two. Week three at Riverdale. Week four hosting Erie Prophetstown. Week five at Sterling Newman. Week six at Orion. Week seven, they host Mercer County. So the Mercer County Rock Ridge game next year at Rock Ridge. Week eight at Monmouth Roosevelt for the Rockets, and they wrap up hosting Spring Valley Hall. Week nine for the Sherrard Tigers, again at Rock Ridge. Week one, host Mercer County. Week two at Clifford.
That's a fun 2 week start for them. Wow.
and then really fun, they host Princeton week three, play at Spring Valley Hall week four. Do they ever get a break scheduling wise, Sherrard football? They always kind of get the short. I mean, that's a tough stretch right off the bat. Week five, Mendota, they host. Week six, hosting Monmouth Roseville. On the road at Kewaunee in week seven. Week eight at Orion. And week nine, they host Riverdale.
I think you're looking at the Sherrard 2025 schedule.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
You just flip all that.
Okay, so week one, host Rock Ridge. Yes. Week two at Mercer County. Week three at Princeton. Man, they go Mercer County and Princeton back-to-back. Host Hall week four, at Mendota week five, at Monmouth Roseville week six. Week seven, host Kewaunee. Week eight, they host Orion. Week nine at Riverdale. And then a lot of talent back for Orion heading into 2024. They're at Hall week one, host Monmouth Roseville, host Mercer County, play at Newman week four, host Riverdale week five. Week six, they host Rock Ridge. Week seven at Erie Prophetstown. Week eight at Sherrard. Week nine, hosting Kewaunee. So that's the track schedule for 2024 with our local schools, and it should be a lot of fun in the fall of 2024. Also, a couple of other notes to get to before we get to our interviews. I know you talked to Brock Boehner, not this week, but the week prior. We got to play that full interview back maybe next week on Sportsline. That's not in rotation yet, but man, what a great hire, a kid that was a great multi-sport athlete at Macomb back in the late 90s. He played at Western Illinois University. He's coached both baseball and basketball at Macomb. I don't know if he was on the football staff at all, but he was a multi-sport. He played football, basketball, and baseball at Macomb as a Bomber. And I know he's, you know, just listening to his conversation with you, he's pretty excited to kind of be in this affiliation that he's in and coming to Rock Ridge.
Yeah, it's exciting. And like you said, he's a great background, you know, where he's been a principal the past couple of years. And then before that, I think he spent 12 years as the baseball coach at Macomb, the varsity coach. I think he said 15 years as an assistant. And then he was the head coach for one season on an interim role for Macomb. And then the 1 year when they got to the sectional final, not this year, but 9 years ago when Coach Anderson was sick, he was their acting head coach for that postseason run too. So he's got a lot of kind of background in coaching. And then he said he coached at Western Illinois in baseball for 4 years too as an assistant, and he was the interim head coach there for a brief time too. So yeah, it's exciting, and he's excited to be coming to Rock Ridge starting next school year, so congrats to him.
All right, so this is a great story then, because I thought it was awesome when you were talking to him, and he referenced Toby Whiteman, and Toby Whiteman kind of told him all about Rock Ridge. And I don't know, did he take him through the district?
Yeah,
too?
He said he drove him around.
So, you know, and Coach Whiteman is now, of course, a teacher and a coach at UT. And then, you know who kind of enticed Toby Whiteman to come to Rock Ridge? Jason Kirby.
Oh, really?
So
wow.
If Jason Kirby is listening this morning as he's preparing his lunches for next week at West Central, he always does that a week ahead. That's how he prepares his lunches. He is responsible then for Brock Boehner too, I would say. So he got Toby Whiteman to apply at Rock Ridge, and then Toby Whiteman has done a great job to bring Brock Boehner and make him feel welcome at Rock Ridge. So what about that? Does it circle back to Jason Kirby, I guess, or not?
He's worried about the West Central softball team right now.
Yeah, they're pretty good,
yeah.
Too. So we have Coach Bazal on the program today, right? And then... you talked to the Sherrard softball coach,
Josh Starkweather.
And they have played a very challenging early season schedule. And I know one of their nice non-conference win, they beat an undefeated Sterling that has a pretty good pedigree in the Western Big Six.
Yeah, they're 3-2. Their two losses are to Rock Island by one run and to Moline by two runs.
And that team can hit, right?
Yeah.
Tigers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The key's going to be pitching for them. So we'll hear from him. And then also this week, we talked to Cole Rusk, who played his first 3 years at Rock Ridge and then finished up at Rock Island. And he entered the transfer portal. He was at Murray State. He was initially at one of the directional schools in Michigan, but had a good year last year at Murray State, entered the portal, and he's now at Illinois, and they're participating in spring practice right now. So we caught up with him actually yesterday, and it was interesting. John Hoscheit ran into him at, was it Sexton Ford? Is that where it was?
Yeah.
And started earlier talking.
This week,
and then
yeah.
he volunteered all this, Cole Russ did all this information about WRMJ in his connection with the station and the first time he was ever interviewed and how much he remembered that. And I thought it was great yesterday, and I think he says it in the interview. He said Safari. Is that, that's like a platform?
It's a browser, yeah.
Yeah, so he
Apple.
Says, I have it saved. The final 2 minutes of the Orion Rock Ridge game, I always listened to when I played, whatever, when he was a sophomore, whatever.
That's
and more
amazing.
And more, you hear more and more, like through the years, you hear more and more people tell
that
about that. But such a tremendous basketball player, too. He's 6'6", could handle the ball so well. And I was bummed when he left to go to Rock Island, but so excited for him to go to Illinois, especially after, had a great fall last year with the Murray State. And I think he has 2 years of eligibility left. So we talked to him, I think yesterday is when I recorded the interview with him. So we'll hear from Cole Russ. Nice to see a local kid wearing the orange and blue, and I can tell he's genuinely excited about that opportunity. So that is coming up on the program. Anything else that we need? Oh, you mentioned the, I'm going to make one editorial comment. So the NCAA tournament is underway. We talked about the Illini. Now the women's tournament basically starts for most of the fan base today because Iowa plays, right?
Right.
So I'm going to say one thing that's going to get everybody, I'm going to rankle all the feathers here in the program today. I think it's terrible that the NCAA lets universities host home games. I don't think Iowa should get a host NCAA tournament games. They haven't done that. They don't let men do that, but they let the women do
right.
that.
Well, I think part of the reason is, you know, maybe not so the past couple of years, but I think if they did how the men do it with like regional sites or whatever, where the first weekend, I think they would really struggle to get crowds for the most part. I think that's why they do it that way for the first weekend, because I mean, outside, you know, it's better now, but you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there would have been, I mean, nobody at those games, and it wouldn't have made any money. So that's probably why they do it.
I agree, but I'm still mad. The last year they ever did it in the men's tournament, Illinois had to play at Kentucky against Kentucky and lost a close game. So, I mean, I just think, again, hopefully they proceed and eventually go to neutral sites in women's basketball, but whatever. So we'll have Illini men's basketball again coming up 7:30, or make that 6:30 tonight with the pregame, and then 7:40 tip-off with Duquesne officially. What are they, an 11 seed?
They're seeded 11th.
Correct. Out of the Atlantic 10. All right, so anything else before we head into our interviews?
Our next broadcast scheduled for Monday probably won't happen because it's supposed to rain all day. It's Rock Ridge and Orion in baseball. The following week we have two softball games, Rock Ridge at Sherrard and then Mercer County at Rock Ridge, Monday and Tuesday in 2 weeks. So that's April 1st and 2nd.
All right. Oh, one other thing. There's this alumni tournament taking place in town today, right?
Yeah, I heard there's a team that has Brian Heath and then Jason Gentry-Whiteman, so they're my pick.
They're probably the favorite.
Yeah.
And those games are being, well, they can't play at the high school because the floor is up, so they're playing at the Y and the junior high. Is that right?
I think the women are playing in Joy. I think I'm scheduled to play at 10:15 or 10:30. So.
Oh, you're going to have to get out of here pretty soon then,
yeah,
man.
I'm not looking forward to it, to be honest with you.
All right, coming up out of the break, we'll hear from Sherrard head baseball coach Nick Bazzola. The Tigers off to a 5-1 start. This is the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes Hey Dudes on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking with Sherrard baseball coach Nick Basala. So, Coach, I guess as we start with you, we'll talk more about like your team this season coming up, but I think we were talking before the game with you on Tuesday with Rock Island. You're number 13 overall for you as a varsity baseball coach. I mean, does it feel like you've been doing this for 13 years?
It depends what day it is, I guess. Some days, no. You know, I really enjoy coaching the game of baseball. We got a great group of kids, but been doing it a while. My wife reminds me how long I've been doing it, so but it's enjoyable. You know, love to come out here every day and compete.
We got a chance to see you Tuesday, a game with the win over Rock Island 6-5, in a game that kind of came down to the final out where you're able to hold on, and against a Western Big Six opponent. I noticed, you know, the schedule earlier in the season, you had kind of a road trip down in the southern portion of the state playing in Quincy, and then you played in Mendon, two wins there. So can you talk a little bit about kind of the schedule you're playing this year? It looks a little different than maybe in years past for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when I was back at Mercer County, we like to get those southern kind of games early in the season because most likely you're not playing that first week up here. So I did a little research, tried to coordinate some games down there. Had the opportunity to go to QND, great complex down there. They had a really good pregame ceremony to honor one of their players that they lost last year. And then just to be able to coordinate a couple games. And, you know, we're sitting at 5-1 with six games right now. So it's like you look around our area, not many teams have that many games. So just the opportunity to get some guys in, get some opportunities, kind of see where we're at going into the conference schedule. It's a lot of fun. It's a great opportunity.
We mentioned, you know, the win over Rock Island. You talk about depth, and I know, like, pitching-wise for you, the two kids that most get a lot of headlines, especially Taranez, but Maddox Harkson, too, I think everybody knows what those two kids have done the past couple of years for you on the mound. But I think, you know, in the game against Rock Island, too, you saw kind of the depth. Neither of those kids pitch and able to hang on and win 6-5 in a game where, you know, if the wind wasn't so bad, probably Rock Island wouldn't have scored five runs. So can you talk a little bit about the pitching depth you have outside of Taranez and Harkson? I mean, early on this season, looks like so far so good.
Yeah, you know, Sam Crown over a senior, he's taken another step forward. I mean, he was a guy that gave us a lot of innings last year too, but he's really improved his game, his consistency. He really fills up the strike zone now for us. So he's kind of a big X factor for us, you know, to be that real third main guy. And then we've got a couple of juniors that have popped up. We returned Jacob Fratsky, who was a sophomore spot for us last year, big leverage spots for us. So he's in the bullpen. But then we get Brady Peterson, Zach Knox, and we saw Brady tonight. I mean, he's just been lights out for us all season so far to the pen. That was already his fourth game of the year. We've played six. So he's coming in. He's really doing a good job. He's getting ground balls. So just depth-wise, we've got a lot of guys that can go out there and throw, and it's not like we're throwing guys out there that, you know, can't really get it to the plate. I mean, we got guys that can throw it up there pretty good at a good velocity and do different things with other pitches. So I really think that's the strength of us this year.
And then on the other side of things too, like offensively for you, I think, you know, you're tested depth early on and throughout the season. You know, unfortunately, you have a senior kid go down with a broken wrist, Brock DeHammer, who probably you would have, you know, penciled in the middle of the lineup every game this season for. He's out for the season. So offensively, you know, first off, just can you talk a little bit about how much of a bummer it is having that kid miss his senior season due to an injury? And then two, I guess, what does the depth look like for you on the offensive side of things, trying to pick up what his bat, you know, you're missing with him out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, huge bummer for Brock. We thought he was really primed for a good year. We felt his arm, even, you know, from the mound standpoint, his arm was feeling better. He's a guy that can get it up there 85, 86, like with ease, you know. So we were looking forward to him helping us on the mound, but offensively it's a huge, huge miss for us. You know, 3-4 guy for us, had the big hit last year in the regional championship against Princeton against a solid arm. So just another dynamic, you know, it could have stretched out our lineup a little bit. So we're really bummed for him. He goes in for surgery, had surgery on Thursday, you know, now that we're talking. So that's a bummer, but just depth wise, we got a lot of guys that have kind of taken our approach that we've been preaching, and doing a great job. They're locked in. They're really battling. They're competing late in counts. And we're starting to see that early in the year that they're starting to turn the page a little bit with that. And I just think we're a hard out 1-9. I mean, even with two strikes, we saw tonight against Rock Island, some two strike approaches that we got some hits when we needed to and scored some runs. So that ended up being the game for us.
When you look at your program too, now back-to-back seasons where you've won regional championships, you know, really close to winning a sectional title last year as well. A lot of those kids who have been contributors on those two regional title teams are still playing this season for you. And the thing that I kind of jump off the page when you look at just like your roster, you have a ton of kids in the baseball program. So how much does that like success, you know, not necessarily the kids who have been playing in it, but just building, you know, the culture and having kids say, I want to play baseball at Sherrard. I'm sure, you know, two regional titles back to back have helped with that, with you getting going here at Sherrard now in year number four.
Yeah, I think so. I think it helps a lot. You know, winning cures a lot of things too. You know, it's a lot of fun to go out and win every day. So that gets some excitement. You know, we try to do different things like the trip to Quincy. We try to make some experiences for these kids. And a lot goes into that. You know, there's not a lot of people that understand how much goes into being able to do a trip like that, or to be able to give the resources, whatever we do, to make this a great experience for these kids. And, you know, like you said, we got a big senior class. We've got 9 guys that have been doing this for a while. And they're embracing the challenge. You know, they want to come out. They want the target on the back. They're playing well. So it's just a fun group. It's a fun to come out here and compete with them, you know, and I've kind of noticed this year, I mean, you know, I'm not always the easiest to play for. I kind of yell a little bit, but it's like, I've kind of taken a step back with this group because they've done it for so long. They're starting to understand what we want, and they're starting to turn that page on that, and they're executing that. And you can kind of just sit back and have confidence that they're going to execute and do the job.
When you talk about kind of building the program too, I know at the youth levels you've started the Tiger Baseball Club last year, and this is into its second year. So, you know, seeing that where you have kids, you know, playing locally together, I mean, I know it's just been 1 year of it, but what does that kind of look like? Have you liked the progress, I guess, you've seen with that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think kids are enjoying what we're doing. You know, they're not doing something every day. They're getting to come in and really look forward to playing baseball. And, you know, we've got a long ways to go with that program. A lot of kids new into the game, starting to learn some new things. But I like the direction it's taken. You know, we got 72 kids, I think, this year in that program. So you hope that it's 72 kids into the future that rides through the high school program. So, and then we just get to communicate things to those coaches, how we want to do stuff. And hopefully that transitions into the high school level, and we continue just building and taking steps every year.
All right, just as we wrap up with you, I know, I think, pretty high expectations for this group with the returning talent and the success that these kids have had the past couple of seasons, too, with the Sherrard baseball program. Can you look kind of around the area and tell us a little bit about the rest of the area, maybe some teams to watch out for, some teams that you think you'll compete with, maybe atop the conference, maybe, you know, later in the season, in the postseason? Who are some of the better teams around the area, you think, this year?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of pitching. I think that's the big strength. You know, I don't want to sound negative or anything. I think offensively maybe some teams are down a little bit, but every team has at least one or two arms that can come in and shut you down. So if you're not playing well, if you're not competing well, those pitchers can bite you, you know, in close games. So, you know, you look at Rockridge, they got two young arms that are really talented that the area knows really well. They can hold you down a little bit, so you're going to have to be on your best game that day. You know, Riverdale still has Dawson Peterson, who's one of the better hitters in our area, and then throws it really well on the mound too. So they got some guys. So I just think overall there's a lot of different things that teams can do, and you just got to be ready to go, because I think we're going to get the best every night out.
All right, Sherrard baseball coach Nick Basala joining us. Coach Basala, thanks for talking to us. Looking forward to following the Tigers in 2024.
Thanks, Ty. I appreciate you.
And I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance? Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 614-0-RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony, built to keep you stable and comfortable. The Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 614-0-RUN in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We're talking Sherrard High School softball this morning with first-year head coach Josh Starkweather. So, Coach, as we start with you, first off, you know, congratulations on beginning your run here at Sherrard. We'll go back in time a little bit to you applying for the job and then getting the job. What made you want to apply for the softball job at Sherrard, and then what was kind of your reaction to being named the softball coach a few months ago?
So I enjoy what I do. You know, I've been coaching the travel team for about 10 years and have been having a blast. So it was kind of the next step for me, and Sherrard was open. So we, you know, threw my name in the hat and I was fortunate enough to get it. Super exciting. Almost speechless when I got the call, to be honest. I was thrown off guard. I put the application in about midsummer, and then I think they called actually in October or November, so it was quite a gap there, so I wasn't sure, but when I got the call, I was ecstatic.
Well, you mentioned to me before we started about 10 years coaching softball in your career. Can you talk a little bit more, maybe expand upon your background coaching the game as you take over the Sherrard program?
Yeah, for sure. So I actually started with my oldest daughter in Kelowna Little League. Coached there for a couple years. She kind of fell in love with the game, and so did I, so we actually moved to the travel side, and I coached for an organization, a local organization by the name of the Midwest Sluggers for 5 or 6 years. And then actually we transferred over to an organization by the name of Nebraska Gold, just a franchise deal and give us a really good name and all that good stuff. So.
Well, as you've taken over here over the first, you know, couple weeks of the season, what are some of the biggest differences you see in coaching, you know, maybe an ASA program in the summer as opposed to like a full-fledged high school program as the varsity coach? Is there any, like, you know, maybe different challenges that come with that as opposed to what you've been used to?
Yes and no. I mean, the kids are kids, right? And this Sherrard program, we got blessed with some awesome kids and some awesome parents. So the coaching side of it, you know, coaching these kids is the same as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of differences on the administrative side and paperwork and the structure and scheduling and all that good stuff. But overall, no, I mean, not huge differences in the actual coaching aspect. A lot of it comes down to the kids you got in the program and if they're going to buy in. And so far, these first few weeks, they've done an awesome job. We're just blessed to be part of this program.
So taking over the program, as you've kind of got integrated with the community and the school and then the kids in the program too, I think you said to me off the air, you coach one kid in the Sherrard program in the summer. So how do you think like your relationship building has been with the kids and just overall as a part of the school and the community now, how do you think kind of that aspect of this has gone so far?
It's gone better than I ever could have imagined. So I do have one kid on the team, Mackenzie Moran, who's played for me for the last couple summers. But overall, we're the same age. My travel team is the same age as the high schoolers. So I've watched these kids growing up and competed against them quite a few times. So the transition has not been difficult up to this point. They've really had great attitudes from day one. So it's made life really easy and working with the school has been awesome. I have great leadership. They've done everything they can to help it and make this as smooth a process as possible.
All right, so 3-2 so far on the season through the first couple of weeks. How have you thought your group has played so far here at the beginning of year number one for you at Sherrard?
To be honest, they've played great in every game. We're 3-2 now. We lost a couple games there last week, and we were in the game. We were leading in games and lost a little energy there. But on paper, they've played great. They've played great, and they've been practicing great. We've got a great outlook for the season.
And I think, you know, offensively for you, you've put up some nice numbers through five games. I know from the team a year ago, you have some really strong offensive pieces back. Like, I think Nadi Anderson gets a lot of headlines, and Ava Hartman, too, throughout others in your lineup. So overall, like, offensively for you this year, does that feel like that maybe could be the strength of this team, you think?
Yeah, I think the offensive side is going to define Sherrard softball this year. We've got some monsters in this lineup who want to do nothing but hit. And I mean, it's bottom to top where we could be a pitcher's nightmare this year.
And then pitching for you, I think, you know, looking at your statistics, I think Savannah Hauger and Danny Nepple have thrown every inning so far for you this season. How do you think those two kids have played so far? And what is kind of the pitching outlook look for the Tigers this year?
They've done a great job. They complement each other well. It's a combo every game that we're running with because their styles complement each other so well. And up to this point, they've done great. They've done everything we've asked them to do. And I don't see that changing. They're both tough. I mean, they're both tough to hit, and they're both mentally tough. I mean, they do a really good job in the circle of controlling the game.
And I think, you know, especially, you know, the past couple of years, but I think every year, like, this area in small school 2A softball is pretty strong. Obviously, we know what Rock Ridge has done over the past 10 or so years, but I think every year there are a lot of good teams. So when you look kind of down the line at the 2024 season, where do you kind of think that Sherrard fits in an area that's always pretty strong?
I mean, we're going to make a run for it all, Ty. I mean, I think we got the team to do it. There's a ton of talent, and not only in this conference, but in the Quad City area. This is a hot spot for softball, right? So we have a great outlook, but I can tell you we're hunting for the top spot.
All right, that is Sherrard softball coach Josh Starkweather getting underway in year number one of his run as the varsity softball coach at Sherrard. Coach, thanks for talking with us this morning, and looking forward to working with you this year and more years down the line.
Thanks for having me, Ty.
All right, and I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialist at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax. And have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Comfortable, stylish, lightweight. All words that represent Hey Dude Shoes from 6140 Run in Galesburg. Hey Dude supports a lifestyle of lifting you up and giving you the comfiest, cushiest, lightest shoes on earth. And now Hey Dude Shoes are buy one pair, get one pair 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg. Make your new go-to shoes, Hey Dudes, on sale now. Buy one, get one 25% off at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. Let's talk some Fighting Illini college football with a local kid. Played his freshman through junior year at Rock Ridge High School, then finished up at Rocky, and now transferring to Illinois. Played last year at Murray State, Cole Rusk. So good to have him on the WRMJ airwaves. Of course, WRMJ, a Fighting Illini affiliate. So we'll hear the name Cole Rusk on the WRMJ airwaves next fall. How excited are you to return to the home state to play college football?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. It's been an absolute blessing so far, and just being able to be close to my family too. I've already reaped the benefits, and I can't wait.
So you'll look good in blue and orange. So tell us a little bit about your story then. You know, you can give us a firsthand account of how
the transfer portal works. So you played at Murray State last fall, enter the portal, you wind up already in class here in the spring semester at Illinois. Logistically, tell us how it works.
Yeah, no, so what most people don't understand is I already transferred once, so transferring twice wasn't really an option for me. I wasn't going to sit out a year, and I was perfectly happy at Murray State. I love the area, and I love the guys, but ended up going home and then literally woke up from a nap one day to the news that the NCAA was going to change their rules on transfer portal, and started thinking about it and knew that I came off a good year and that I might have the chance to go to the top level. And that's all I really wanted to do was be able to play at the highest level and show that I'm, you know, good enough to play at this level, and just wanted an opportunity. And so to talk to my family and made the hard decision that I was going to leave Murray. And once I did, I mean, within 30 minutes, I think I got my first offer was from Texas A&M. So kind of just from not a very highly recruited kid in high school, it was kind of like a shocking moment for me when that happened. And I realized, you know, I'm probably going to pick up some steam here. So got that first offer, and then they started rolling in, and didn't hear from Illinois at all. Did my research, knew that they were going to need a tight end if Tip left. So was waiting for that call and kind of was waiting around, and then finally got the text and talked to Coach Bielma, and they decided to offer me. And I kind of knew right away that's where I wanted to go. I've been an Illinois fan my entire life, and it's really a dream come true. And I can't express enough how much of a blessing it's been every day getting to work here and just, you know, be with the guys and everything. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and then, you know, the roots with Coach Bielema, who grew up in Illinois and played high school mm-hmm. football at Prophetstown. And I know I've heard him speak before about really, you know, wanting to keep talent in the state, you know, all parts of the state. How much did that kind of factor into your decision? Now, you said, hey, this, you know, growing up, I was an Illini fan. It's kind of a dream come true. But then you have a coach that says, hey, I'm really interested. I want to keep kids here in the state playing in the orange and blue. How did that factor into all this?
Yeah, no, he was very open and transparent about, like, he feels like especially our region of the state has been under-recruited before. And obviously we're in competition with Iowa, you know, being so close to the Quad Cities. And so he was talking about that. He felt like maybe if he was there my senior year out of high school that I might have been at Illinois already. So he was very open about that and wants to continue to grow, you know, the amount of athletes that we're getting from this area. You know, we already have two guys on the team from the area, but it's been really cool, and it meant a lot to me to hear that from him, and especially, you know, I want to be a part of that group. And so.
So what's the transition been like? Now, I know people don't, you know, maybe the average fan, you know, college football, especially on campus, is the furthest thing from their mind right now because, you know, the Illini are playing in the NCAA basketball tournament. But spring practice is underway. So how does that work for a transfer student-athlete like yourself?
Yeah, so we just finished our 8-week winter workout program, which was unbelievable, and it was really good to work with Tank, our strength coach, and then now we're two practices down. For me, it's just been a lot of learning the playbook and just getting adjusted to the offense and that type of stuff. And it's just been a lot of fun being around the guys a lot and just being able to play football again, you know. We do a lot of work in the weight room, and we all do it just to put the pads on and do that stuff. And so Saturday is our first padded practice and be ready to go.
So still early in the game, but they wanted you to come in. So what do you think the opportunity will be like when we start playing games for real next year in the Big Ten? Where do you think you're at right now, I guess, in the depth chart?
Yeah, I'm not sure at all. I just know that I try and show up every day and make the most of my opportunity, and it's been really fun. We got a great room. I think all of us are really, really good, and so I really can't answer that. I'm not sure, but I know that it's been fun practicing so far, and just going to, you know, go wherever the Lord takes me. But it's been a lot of fun so far.
Well, I know it's interesting because when the news kind of broke, I know at least from like the Illini recruiting standpoint, I'm not talking about the coaches, but like the people that follow mm-hmm. this recruiting scene, you know, they were like pretty stoked, and they were mentioning, well, we got this transfer coming in, and then I'm halfway listening, and they said, Cole Rusk, and I said, wait a minute, man, I know Cole Rusk, he was a Rock Ridge Rocket. So, like, the recruiting people that cover that beat were pretty stoked about that, so that's pretty cool. And the only other funny story that I can tell you about that, and I posted it on your dad's Facebook page, and he never responded, so I'm kind of mad about this, but when they, one of the Saturday morning Illini shows I was listening to, and mm-hmm. a longtime columnist for Illinois by the name of Lauren Tate. I mean, he's like, he's like literally 92 years old, but he's been covering Illinois athletics for like ever. And mm-hmm. they said, well, we got this kid from Murray State, and he didn't say your name. The first thing he said, he's like, his dad was a great wrestler. And I just thought that was, so awesome. So, you know, the one thing about you said it's a dream or whatever, I, you know, wanted to go to Illinois. What do you think it's, and I know you get a practice there. I get that. Okay. But I mean, actually when they play a game there and you're on that field or whatever, how, you know, it, will that be like a reflective moment for you to say, man, I'm playing in the Big Ten for the orange and the blue?
Yeah, no, I've had a chance to talk to it with our quarterback, Luke. You know, he transferred from Ole Miss, and so I just have had some conversations with him. But, I mean, I can't wait. I feel like it's going to be surreal, you know. I've been to that stadium lots of times watching as a fan, and so, you know, to get the chance to walk out the tunnel with the guys and, you know, it'd be me going to play on that field I think it's going to be awesome, you know, and I can't wait.
Well, I think it's so cool because I remember – the first time I ever interviewed Cole Rusk was during basketball season at Rock Ridge in a stairwell over there where we broadcast from. And this is the one thing I remember about Cole Rusk, 6'6 kid. I don't know what they have listed at weight-wise here in the program, but a kid that was a good multi-sport athlete and a kid that could really handle the ball at 6'6 was a good hooper, too. And that's why I was bummed kind of when he went to Rock Island to finish up, because I'm like, man, they need him for a senior year to play hoop over at Rock Ridge. But a good basketball player, too, and we really enjoyed covering you at Rock Ridge in your 3 years that you were on the WRMJ airwaves. And I think it's so cool that, you know, Illinois, we're on the Fighting Illini radio network. So you'll hear that kid maybe Saturday. They'll say, ball caught by Cole Rusk, gain of 17. And I'll say, we covered him for the Rock Ridge Rockets. So awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, no, I was telling your partner that how much it meant when I was a sophomore in high school and I got to play and start my first varsity game. And I was lucky enough to score 2 touchdowns and got the chance to be interviewed by you that next day in the office. And I was so stoked, and it meant the world to me at that time that I got the chance to go on the radio. And it was such a big deal for me and my family. So, you know, I always appreciate it. And I still have it bookmarked in my Safari, your last two-minute call of Rock Ridge versus Orion, you know, when I got the chance to make a big touchdown late, you know.
Awesome, man.
I still have it there, so.
Well, that's great to hear, and I'm so excited for this fall, and it'll be great following a local kid wearing the orange and blue. And Cole, thanks for talking with us, and it'll be exciting this fall, and we'll let you get back to spring practice, and more importantly, we'll let you get back to class. Thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you a lot.
All right, Cole Rusk again, tight end, Fighting Illini, former Rock Ridge Rocket.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit OSI.biz.
Jimmy is the kind of guy that always parks his car in the garage if he hears there's a chance of hail. You know, cautious. Jimmy had a wife, a new baby, and needed insurance, but said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. But then he found out about return of premium term insurance from Country Financial. After 20 years, you get a tax-free lump sum payment of everything you put in. Jimmy liked that. If that sounds like your kind of country, why don't you call your nearest Country Financial representative for all the details on return of premium insurance. Then relax and have a piece of cake. Jimmy did.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off right now at 6140RUN in Galesburg. Pair that with the Omni 22s by Saucony, built to keep you stable and comfortable. The Omni 22 is as reliable as it gets. Or how about a pair of Ride 17s from Saucony, featuring crave-worthy cushioning, or the Glycerin 21s by Brooks with an improved fit and more cushioning. Check it all out and save at 6140RUN in Galesburg.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Well, Jim, it's spring sports time, although the weather doesn't seem to want to cooperate right now. But you have an update on the winter sports as far as future sites for high school boys and girls basketball. What's the latest there?
Well, it looks like the IHSA is going to extend the contracts with both the State Farm Center for boys basketball and the, I still call it Redbird Arena, on the ISU campus for girls basketball. And I think the extensions they're talking about, a five-year extension, but the big question remains, what is the schedule going to look like going forward where you play all four classes on the same weekend? And they've been tipping off, you know, those state tournament semifinal games on Thursday for 1A, 2A at 9 o'clock in the morning. Same for the girls. And then the Friday session is 3A, 4A. And again, the big question remains, what are they going to do with the third place games? Currently, they're playing those, you know, the 1A, 2A third place games are played on Thursday night late. And then the 3A, 4A games are played late Friday night. So that is the big question. It'll be interesting to see how they reconfigure, if they do reconfigure. They've been talking about, you know, trying to change the schedule some way, somehow. No, I've heard many people say, just do away with the third place games. I really don't think that's an option. Do you?
I don't, just from the standpoint that it's such a tradition. And a lot of times that team that finishes in third place is really starting that, you know, next season with that victory, and somebody walks away from maybe a tough semifinal round loss and picks up a win, and yes, they have it. But, you know, I did mention, we did talk about, like, Iowa having, you know, a festival of sorts in Des Moines starting early in the week, but that's one thing they don't have that I'm aware of are third-place games. And, you know, I guess back in the day, the NCAA tournament had a third-place game, and it's gone, so this might be something we see disappear.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see. I think they're going to reconfigure the schedule and make it work some way, somehow. You know, and as we go along, I've heard more, I'm not going to say complaints, but more issue with, you know, playing those semifinal games at 9 a.m. on Thursday and 9 a.m. on Friday, you know, because I just don't think that the fans of those schools, right, they can get to those games, but virtually nobody else can. So I think that's a big issue. And, you know, the other thing that I've heard a lot of lately is basically the perfect setup for both state basketball series, girls and boys, if you play it over 3 days, it would work better if it was a three-class system instead of a four-class system. But I always tell people, you know, even with football, some people will say, well, we need to reduce the number of classes and go back to six. But I always say, when the genie's out of the bottle and you create the additional classes, you're never going to go back and reduce those classes, are you?
No, I don't think you are. I think you're pretty much, it's kind of like they used to say about a tax. Once it's kind of added on, unless it has a sunset built in, you don't see it disappearing. But, yeah, you see, you know, four teams winning state titles. It seems to, you know, kind of keep things equitable. And people might argue that with some of the private versus public conversation. But, yeah, I think you're not going to see any reduction in classes anytime soon. And the other thing I did want to maybe throw a little more positive spin on this and kind of ask you, but I feel like having covered the state boys basketball tournament at Illinois and having done some games at ISU over the years, I love the fact that they got extended because I think those are the two best spots for those respective tournaments.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's no question about that. And I think the IHSA understands that. You know, again, in the complexion of where we're at in 2024 to where we were at in the 1970s and 80s, we're not going to go back to that where I just don't think you're going to get those type of crowds, with the exception, I think, of the Saturday state championship games where they play all four state title games on Saturday. I think they've corrected that, and they're not going to go away from that. Now, the only other thing that, and I said this during football season, and I'll say it during basketball season too, I still think that there should be a way, and I'll say it should be just a blind draw at the beginning of the season of where the classes play. Because I don't think every year, like under this four-class system basketball, that the, you know, 1A semifinals should always be played at 9 o'clock on Thursday morning, right? They should have a coin flip or a draw out of a hat and say this year, you know, if 3A draws the 9 a.m. session on Thursday morning, they get it. Same with high school football. It drives me bananas that 1A always has to be played at 10 a.m. on Friday. I just wish they would look at mixing that up from year to year, not only for football, but basketball. Somebody author the bylaw amendment on that, please. You know, because I just, like I said, why does it have to be that way every year where those small classes always get stuck playing those early games in the state final weekend?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, you might say, well, with basketball, you might have a tournament where you start at 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever, so you're kind of used to that. But playing a football game at 10 a.m. is just, it's almost something that you dream of doing, obviously, because you're playing for a state championship. But other than maybe a 7-on-7 in the middle of the summer, you're not used to playing in the morning ever.
Yep. All right, we'll follow that. Somebody authored that bylaw amendment. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. And this is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
All right, that'll wind down the WMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. Programming wise, what we're winding down, Cardinal spring training baseball, a couple of games this weekend today. Cardinal spring training baseball coming up at 11:55 this morning, and then also tomorrow during the noon hour. It's opening day for the Cardinals Thursday. They play in LA. That'll be a 2:15 broadcast at Thursday afternoon. Cardinal opening day baseball with a 3:10 first pitch. Our next high school broadcast scheduled for Monday doesn't look too promising. Rain in the forecast, but Rockridge and Orion in baseball. And, of course, Illini basketball coverage coming up tonight from Omaha. 6:30 broadcast, 7:40 is the tentative tip time, taking on the Dukes of Duquesne from the NCAA tournament, the second round. Again, a 6:30 broadcast for that. And for Ty Taylor, this is Jim Taylor saying so long until next Saturday for the WRMJ Sportsline.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140RUN in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots,
Office specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline. Your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.
Yeah.